Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. Basement blast time to today, and you know, it's Wednesday night, the night before Thanksgiving, and tis the holiday season, so I thought I'd be a little bit lighter than normal. I mean, I always try and make these, I try and make them juicy but fun. They're usually a little bit shorter, obviously, 20 to 30 minutes, but I thought I'd talk about some of my favorite Thanksgiving movies. Everybody always talks about their favorite Christmas movies. And, you know, there's a lot of deciding what is a Christmas movie or holiday movie. I mean, I guess if you throw a Christmas tree in it, does it automatically become, you know, a Christmas movie? What does it take to become a Christmas movie? Does it have to be, like, something with the seasons? I mean, I am of the opinion, even though I think that the film's creator, or Bruce Willis, whatever, I think of Die Hard as a Christmas movie. Period. You're not going to change my mind. It just is. You can't set a movie during a holiday party, have Christmas, coming home for Christmas, bringing presents, and not being a Christmas movie. And playing Christmas songs and music. So, to me, a Christmas movie is just a movie that takes place during the holidays, when it's not specifically mentioned that it's Thanksgiving. I think that most filmmakers want to just go ahead and try for that Christmas thing, because I think there's more money to be made in a Christmas one, obviously, than a Thanksgiving one. Mostly because at this time of the year, only the U.S. celebrates Thanksgiving. I mean, Canada has it, but it's, you know, a month and a half ago now. But everybody around the world, well, not everybody, but there's a lot more people that celebrate Christmas than Thanksgiving, obviously. So it is the rare bird, not to use that as a pun, really, but I mean, you don't really ever see the Thanksgiving movies. There's a few. And there's actually some that you don't really think of as Thanksgiving movies, because they have a little bit of action in them, too. But I thought I would go over some that I really like, some that are eh, and some maybe, you know, some that you've never heard of, or at least if you have heard of them, maybe provide a little bit more information about some of them. And I don't think they're in any particular order, but as I was writing them down, just to gather my thoughts, I kind of put them, I think, in an order that a lot of you would put them in. And I think number one, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Now, as I said in something on the site, I mean, I kind of vacillate sometimes between Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and Home for the Holidays. However, I really think that, I mean, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, this is almost a perfect movie. And I think it's a perfect movie just because not only did John Hughes actually, you know, write it, but he also directed it. And I think that that's, and we'll talk about it later, but I think that that's what happened, why Dutch is so bad and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is so good. But, I mean, everybody's already really seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. There's not a lot to discuss. I'm not going to break it down or anything like that. But just some kind of tea, some gossip about it, maybe. You have to realize that it was a, you know, I don't have a ton. I mean, I have a John Hughes connection, obviously, that if you've been around a long time, you know that I have one for sure, who remains a very, very good friend. And but I will say this, there's a guy, a great kindness item as we're heading into Thanksgiving, is John Hughes met this guy on the set, and his name's Troy Evans. You guys probably know him because he played Frank Martin on ER. But I don't think he had been in anything. And I didn't go back to his IMDb to double check, but I don't think he had been in anything. And he was only scheduled to have like one line. But John, he was talking about he and his wife were trying to save for a house and all this kind of stuff. And that, you know, he was so grateful to get a speaking role because it was a little bit more money. Well, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, even though there's, you know, it takes place and there's all the snow and everything, during the filming, they actually had to go chase the snow. They were flying all over. They were using planes, trains, and automobiles to fly all over the country and in Canada just to try and find snow. So what it did was, Troy Evans, he was only supposed to be on set for one day. But then when John Hughes heard his story, he goes, oh, why don't you stick around another day and then another day? And why don't we just film your scene after we find some snow? So basically, the guy ended up, one day, ended up being like there for 2 or 3 weeks. And got the money to pay for the down payment for the house. And that was just because John Hughes was being a nice guy. And, you know, kept him there, even though they probably could have filmed the scene a lot earlier. But he plays the truck driver towards the end of the movie, the last kind of scene that gets them all the way to Chicago, where they have to sit in the back. Now, another thing that you might not know about the movie is that... So there's a scene where Neil's wife is watching a movie. And the movie that she's actually watching is She's Having a Baby, which is a John Hughes movie. But the thing is, She's Having a Baby didn't come out for like 5 or 6 months, maybe more than that. Maybe like 7 months after Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So people probably had no idea what she's watching. And the guy's character, the lead, Kevin Bacon's character in that, is his name is Jake. And Jake is Kevin Bacon in the opening scene of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where he's racing Neil to catch a cab. That is actually Jake. So, that's kind of interesting. I always thought that a movie that hadn't even come out, and I don't know if John Hughes was trying to, if Kevin Bacon was going to have a more expanded role at one point or something like that. But so that is Jake from She's Having a Baby, racing against Neil, and then of course She's Having a Baby came out a few months later. So that's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. The next one, because like I said, it is home for the holidays, and I see it did well. I want to say well, the reason I like Home for the Holidays is because it's hectic. You know, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, there's a lot going on, but it's laid out in a more serene pace, even though they are crisscrossing the country, and they have a certain amount of time, obviously, because Thanksgiving is this artificial deadline, but they are just taking their time in a way. The film takes its time. While in Home for the Holidays, I mean, just from boom, the outset, you're just like, oh my gosh, this is frantic. And it kind of reminds me of if you go to an airport on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, like if you go to an airport tonight where you're on the road, it's just like this frantic, hectic thing. If you stop somewhere tonight, if you're driving, chances are good that whatever fast food place on the side of it's going to be empty of everything. They're going to be sold out of everything, and there's going to be a million people there. The bathrooms are going to be disgusting. It's just, it's this hectic kind of way. And at the beginning of Home for Holidays, if you haven't seen it, well, first of all, Claire Danes is in it, but she was so huge at the time that she was only able to do some phone scenes, basically, where there's a camera on her and she's talking on the phone. That's how popular Claire Danes was at this time. All right. Where you're so desperate to have her in your movie that you're willing to accept this condition where she's only going to give you a certain amount of time. When you could have had any other, you know, teen actress who would be there if you needed them to be. But in a way, it's kind of good because, you know, it leaves Holly Hunter kind of alone, and she didn't have her daughter to rely on. But at the beginning, what you see is, you know, Claire Danes, Holly Hunter makes out with her boss, loses her job. Claire Danes is on the phone with her, says, you know, since you're going to be out of town, I'm going to have sex with my boyfriend, you know, and lose my virginity to him. And this is all like in the first 5 minutes. It's just this. And then Holly Hunter's, you know, at the airport. It's just this frantic, hectic kind of thing. It's, you feel it, you sense it. And then when you throw like Robert Downey Jr. into the mix, who is frenetic anyway at this time period with the acting, you know, you get that same kind of hecticness, you know, and it never really settles. Plus you have some of the best actors and actresses ever. You have Anne Bancroft and Charles Durning, you know, and Robert Downey Jr., Dylan McDermott. I mean, not the best of all time, but I mean, he's a good actor. You had Jodie Foster directing. You had Geraldine Chaplin, Charlie Chaplin's daughter, in it, who's a great actress, who plays like this tiny, tiny role. You had the Goot in it, Steve Guttenberg. And everybody just embraces this hectic thing. You never actually settle down. You never feel yourself taking a breath. And I think that that can be good, because a lot of times that's what the holidays are. And I don't know if they intended it to be like that, or if Jodie intended it to be like that when she made it, but that's what it felt like. And they made it really quickly, except for like the dinner scene, I think was, they filmed that for 10 days basically. But to me that, and I feel like the ending was a little bit trite. Like we have to wrap this up and make it nice, when maybe it should have just kept being a little bit messy. I don't think that that would have been a bad thing. The next one is Pieces of April. Okay. And I will always go on record and say that Pieces of April is Katie Holmes' Mean Girls. Okay. When everybody tells me Lindsay Lohan's the greatest actress in the world and they point to Mean Girls, it's the writing. Was she good in Freaky Friday? Yeah, she was. You know, but I mean, everybody's played that role, and it's not really a stretch to play that role. It's kind of technically complicated, but also she was a kid. But Mean Girls, everybody points to. And I will say that Katie Holmes in Pieces of April, that is her perfect role. She will never get a role probably that fits her as well as that. And just go watch any of her other movies, especially things lately. It's just, people only hire her because of her name, not because of any great acting talent. And I'm not even sure what her name brings to it. I mean, are you desperate to go watch some Katie Holmes movie? Obviously not, because her movies have flopped. Are you desperate to watch her on TV? No, because those shows have flopped. I mean, if she goes into a show like Ray or something, but that was already established. You know, I mean, she's not going to drive away people, but I don't think she adds anything. But if you had $300,000 to make a movie, I would recommend that you make a horror movie, because your chances of getting a return on your investment would be great. I would not sink it into a movie called Pieces of April. Unless you, of course, were Peter Hedges, who is a great playwright, a fantastic playwright. And let's be honest, Pieces of April is basically a play, you know, that's been movietized. The budget was $300,000. But yet, because Peter was a playwright, he got Oliver Platt and Patricia Clarkson and John Gallagher Jr. and Sean Hayes and Alison Pill. Because they were all his friends from plays. So they were willing to work for scale on an ultra-low budget, which is shockingly very, very low. And then he was able to spend a few bucks to get Katie Holmes and a few bucks to get Derek Luke, who at the time was just coming off Antoine Fisher. I mean, just a remarkable actor. So basically, you had all these remarkable actors and actresses, and then you had Katie Holmes, who was able, because playwriting, plays are all about the writer. Writer, 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 writer. Always. Okay, because you are limited in what you can do where you are on the stage and everything. There's no CGI. It's got to be strong writing. And it also helps, obviously, if the acting is strong. And he already had all these strong actors. So Katie Holmes was able just to kind of slide right in there and made her perfect movie. I mean, she was amazing in it. And she has never done anything approaching it. And the only difference is that there was no Peter Hedges in this great script. And I'm wondering if she should try and go back to something like that. Like, find something that just has the most amazing writing, rather than just taking a paycheck. If she could, you know, take that chance and try something like that. Because I think, you know, she found her sweet spot once, and instead of, like I said, chasing the paycheck, maybe she should try and do that. The movie made, like, $4 million. So obviously everybody was happy. But if, you know, it spent the $300,000 on a horror movie, you could have made, like, $50 million and then had a franchise. So anyway, I think it's amazing. And as good as that one is, then we talk about Son-in-Law. Which I happen to like. You know, I have always said, people, like what you like and don't let anybody influence what you like. Just be you. And I like Son-in-Law. It is the, probably, it's about right at my breaking point for Pauly Shore humor. You know, I can handle it right about that. It almost gets too far, but it doesn't quite. And the reason is, and I remember, it was like, oh my gosh, Sydney St. James from Falcon Crest is in this. And I remember that. I remember thinking that. And it's Carla Gugino. And she is such a good actress. And I think this was, it's basically her first movie. She might have had a line somewhere or something. And I mean, Falcon Crest was just a recurring. So this was basically her big chance. I mean, she's the co-lead of a movie that had a decent budget. I think the budget was like $20 million. And she's such a good actress that she is able to kind of like rein in Pauly Shore a little bit. Because you basically have two kinds of, in these kind of situations, you have like the teen actors, young actors, you know, 20s. And then you always have the parents, quote unquote parents, or older actors, adult actors. And so you had Carla able basically to rein in Pauly, you know, which helped. And then you had Han Porter from Sandlot, you know. Yes, Tiffany Thiessen's in it. I mean, she's okay. But, and the adults, I mean, they needed no help. I mean, you basically, Lane Smith, who was My Cousin Vinny, and then Mason Adams, who's been in a million thing. You had Cindy Pickett, who's Ferris's mom. Who else? Oh, Dennis Berkeley. He's like this character actor, and you look and you go, oh yeah, him. Oh yeah, him. Oh yeah. And so you had that kind of base, so you didn't have to worry about that. You just had to worry about the youngins, so to speak. And it's fun. It's light. It has a good message. Is it formulaic? Yes. Do you know what's probably going to happen at the end? Yes. Are there any big surprises? No. You know, but it's, you know, it's a little bit of love story, a little bit of, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And it's all just centered around Thanksgiving, so then it makes it a Thanksgiving movie. It honestly could have been any time of year. It didn't have to be specifically Thanksgiving. And I think that, you know, if you go back to, like, Pieces of April, I think that that almost needed to be Thanksgiving. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, it almost needed to be Thanksgiving just because it needed to have that artificial deadline. Home for the Holidays is Thanksgiving. I mean, I guess you could have set that at Christmas and done the same kind of thing. But, I mean, it feels like Thanksgiving. And Son-in-Law, honestly, just could have been any weekend that somebody decided to bring somebody home. You know, I mean, there's the whole, oh, I'm going to be here alone kind of thing, but it could have been any holiday. They just happened to choose Thanksgiving, so, you know, it gets to be a Thanksgiving movie. But there's nothing wrong with it. And like I said, if you need something and you just want to be lighthearted and not be all deep and Pieces of April kind of thing, then it's your thing. Probably the worst Thanksgiving movie on my list. I mean, there's worse Thanksgiving movies, but the one that's on my list that's probably the worst is Dutch. And everyone hates it. And I watched it again a couple weeks ago just to see what my feelings were about it. And it could have been so much better. It's another John Hughes Thanksgiving movie. And if you think about going for two Thanksgiving movies in your career is a bit bold and a bit ambitious. But he went for it. But the problem with Dutch is that he went for, if you go back to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, there's some slapstick stuff in it. But it's countered by so much almost drama and a somber tone. So even when they're, you know, forced to, when there's these funny moments, then you still have this whole backdrop of family and trying to get home and, you know, these two actors that really tried to play it more serious. So the slapstick was just, you needed the slapstick almost to escape from this, you know, these dramatic overtones. While in Dutch, they just went straight slapstick all the time and there wasn't anything to counterbalance it, really. And I think part of the problem was John Hughes wrote it, but he didn't direct it like he did in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And so I think that that was part of the problem, is that I think if he had just really truly been 100% invested into the movie, that he would have seen what needed to be corrected. I mean, he was there, but it's not the same as when you're directing it and you're seeing it and putting it together and seeing what's not working and what's right. And I mean, one of the things is it had Ed O'Neill in it, and Ed O'Neill at the time was, you know, he was known for Married with Children and, you know, Ed Bundy. And he wanted to, Al Bundy, why did I say Ed Bundy? Al Bundy. And he wanted to get out of that stereotype. And he thought that Dutch, it was a comedy, but it also, he thought, would be serious too. And Ed O'Neill came from a serious background. I mean, yeah, he played in the NFL or whatever, but I mean, he made his mark on Broadway and off-Broadway stuff. That's how he got noticed. That's how he got to be Al Bundy, because he was a good actor. And I think that he wanted people to see that he could do something besides Al Bundy. So he did Dutch. And I think he went for it, I don't know, in a bad kind of way. And Ethan Embry's in it, and you know, he can't really save it. There's nobody to really save it at all. It's basically turns out to be a mess. And it's almost the same formula as Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, too. You know, they have to get home. You know, Ed O'Neill's character drives down and he, you know, picks up Ethan Embry from school and brings him back. And it's supposed to be like this road trip kind of bonding kind of movie. And it just doesn't really work. And I keep wanting it to work. Like, I keep wanting to say, no, maybe it'll work this time if I watch it. Kind of like Hudson Hawk. Everybody always hated that, but I never really hated that movie. And, you know, I can appreciate it. I mean, Dutch was pretty bad, and it lost a ton of money. And I don't know. I think that everybody was so fascinated by the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles that they said, sure, John, go ahead and make another Thanksgiving movie or whatever. And he did, and, you know, it didn't do well. So the last movie I want to talk about is, I don't even know how many of you have heard of it, but it's called Alice's Restaurant. And I had heard the song Alice's Restaurant. I forget where. I think I was at a record store or something, and somebody was playing it, and I had heard it. And it was this really, really long song. And I didn't go back to check how long it is, but I want to say it's 20 minutes long. I'm probably wrong, maybe it's shorter. But it basically tells an entire story in a song. An entire story. And so I had heard that, and then I knew about the TV show Alice, which is based on all of this. And then I finally discovered that there's this movie, Alice's Restaurant. And it takes place at Thanksgiving. The song took place at Thanksgiving. And a lot of the story is true. There's some that obviously isn't true, but there's a lot that is true. And it's sung by Arlo Guthrie, whose dad was a very, very famous folk singer, Woody Guthrie. And I think he sang like This Land Is Your Land and stuff like that. And Arlo is played at Woodstock. I mean, he also a folk singer. And he's in the movie, as well as a lot of people who play themselves or versions of themselves. The problem that you have with this movie is that I'm sure Arlo was stoned out of his mind when he wrote the song. There's a lot of true aspects to it, but there was a lot of people whose feelings were hurt, and they didn't really change the identities, the names very much. Like, they would change one letter. And so a lot of people in real life were upset. The real life Alice was really upset. But basically, the movie is Alice is opening a restaurant. They go to this church, which I think they're converting into a restaurant or whatever, for Thanksgiving. As a Thanksgiving present, Arlo and a couple other people decide to take all the trash and take it to the dump. The dump is closed because it's Thanksgiving, so then they dump it over the side of a cliff. They get a ticket, and a lot of this stuff, like I said, is true. They get a ticket, and because, you know, they got these long-haired hippies or whatever in town, the DA wants to set an example and has all these photos of the where they dumped everything, but the judge is blind, can't see the photos, just finds them like $25 and tells them to pick up the trash. They pick up the trash, take it to a different dump, and then there's a story about where Arlo, because everybody's getting drafted for Vietnam, and because of the littering ticket, he's ineligible for being drafted or something like that because of his violations with the law. In the movie, there's this ending part where somebody dies and there's a fight about heroin, and that's where Alice, really, the real life Alice, was really, no, there was nothing like this. I've never been around anybody who used heroin. I hate this. And because of you guys and this movie, I was unable to, she basically had to sell the restaurant, and because the bad publicity. And so she really, really disliked it. She said that there was so much intrusion into her personal life. And, I mean, she wasn't even in the movie. She's just being talked about it. And this is before the internet, where people could really find somebody and everything. And yet, you know, that kind of happened to her. So, but it is an unusual, quirky Thanksgiving movie. And, you know, it's something where it's definitely not formulaic. It is a long, winding road of strangeness. But it's something that's a little bit different. And maybe something that you want to give a try. I don't know. Anyway, that is all the Thanksgiving movies. I hope that everybody has a lovely Thanksgiving. There will be a episode going at midnight tonight. Because, you know, I go all the time. And obviously the blog will be going up on Thursday. There's Black Friday reveals on Friday. You do not want to miss those. It's the best ones of the year. There's usually only 15 or 20, but it's ones from the entire history of the site that have never been revealed. And, you know, it's kind of like the best of the best. The ones that just jaw drop, jaw drop, jaw drop. And there's no filler because there's only, you know, 20 of them or so. Anyway, and then there's going to be a free episode, one of the ones that was paid before. I think that Britney Spears Part 2 is leading as I record this. So, you guys, if you're listening to this, you already pay. So, it probably doesn't matter to you. Anyway, I appreciate everyone, all of you. And I hope that you guys have a great Thanksgiving. And I will talk to you soon.